silver traders rush bars to London as historic squeeze rocks market. Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Mark is here with you on a Saturday morning as the intriguing news in the silver market has not stopped. As you probably are well aware, in addition to the fact that the silver price, spot price, was beyond $51 this week, you've had a divergence in the spread between the spot price in London and New York, which you basically have a short squeeze happening in London. We've been talking here for months about how the inventories in the LBMA silver stockpiles have been getting low, how Daniel Galley's been writing that they were months away from running into an issue, and turns out Daniel nailed it. So congratulations to him on that call, because we're seeing that happen exactly. And now the latest news that we actually reported on yesterday, and here you have Bloomberg come out with it today. So, but as this is happening, the spot price in London, I saw quotes, the prices shift around quite a bit after the close. I saw this as high as $3. Here's the spot price, 50.30. And here is the futures, 47.24. So right now they're marking it over $3. Not sure I would call that a valid quote, but basically on Thursday, it's about $1.20, or we'll go a little farther back. On Tuesday, it was around 20 cents. Actually, we'll even take one step back further. Normally, the futures is over the spot price, depending on how close you are to the expiration, but you know, it can be from 10 to 20 cents or so, sometimes a little higher. So by Tuesday, that had gone to 20 cents under, so 40 cents away from normal. By Wednesday, it was around 50 cents under. By the open on Thursday, it was about $1.20 under. By an hour or two later Thursday, it got to 250 under. I mean, it was happening by the hour, and that's why on Thursday it was saying it feels like something has broken here, because that's not a spread that normally goes negative at all. Now, it does sometimes do that, but that's not a normal thing. But that it's gone this far negative is extreme. And as we'll see in just a moment, it seems like this may have actually happened during the Hunt brothers. But aside from that, I mean, you know, not an accident that we're talking about another time when we had $50 silver. So anyway, came back in a little bit Friday morning, but just kept creeping higher. Was over $2 Thursday night, came in Friday morning, and then was under $2 most of Friday, and then kind of blew out again towards the end of the day. A lot of, let's say, suspicious trading activity at the end of the futures chart, where you had a plummet right on the close. But let's get to this Bloomberg article, because really some intriguing things they say here. As silver traders rush bars to London as historic squeeze rocks market.
I am worried.
And just one moment, and I don't know if this is a completely shameless or maybe not so shameless thought here, but this is the book I put out a couple of years ago, The Big Silver Short Out of the Wall Street Banks, left the silver market in place for the short squeeze of a lifetime. We were a couple of years early, but now we are living through the historic squeeze, and let us dig in. London silver market has been thrown into turmoil, driving prices above 50 for only the second time in history since the Hunt brothers. Then they talk about the prices in London soaring. Traders described a market where liquidity is almost entirely dried up, leaving anyone short spot silver struggling to source metal and crippling to pay, forced to pay crippling borrowing costs to roll their positions. We've talked about that over the past week or two, about how the lease rates in London have surged. Also, the SLV fee to borrow has surged. The, I believe there were a couple of days where the amount of shares outstanding to short were zero. And this squeeze, again, because basically, now I think this is an important one, because I did see a couple headlines this week saying silver shortage. And to be clear, I don't think we have a global silver shortage right now. Now, you can make the case that with the deficits that we're running, that we've been heading in that direction. Although what's happening in particular here is that the London physical market, they're experiencing a shortage. And it's become so dramatic that some traders have rushed to book slots in the cargo holds of transatlantic flights for bulky silver bars, expensive mode of transport typically reserved for more valuable gold, to profit off of the massive premiums in London. And they mention how it's different because it's not just one buyer that they can, and well, that's how they phrase it. I will say that the characterization of what happened with the Hunt brothers, where they just came in and cornered the silver market, that's the gist of it, is not quite how it happened. Obviously, gold was surging at the same time too, and no one's saying they cornered that market. And there were several other investing groups involved, including Saudi Arabia or Saudi Arabian investors, which makes it interesting that at least Saudi Arabia showed up on that SLV investor list. Jeff Christian says that it was on behalf of another government, but guess one way or another, some government's buying it. So anyway, Bloomberg says in some ways this is even more extreme. I've never seen anything like it. What we are seeing in silver is entirely unprecedented, said Anant Jatia, the chief investment officer at Greenland Investment Management. There's no liquidity available in the silver market. Liquidity has dried up in the silver market. Again, I might mention that revised new and improved second edition featuring a bonus interview with Vince Lancey, where I might say he absolutely crushed it. Our editors are power editing away, and that's going to be available perhaps before the silver futures hit $50. Conceivably weeks, hopefully even sooner from being ready. But again, the whole premise was talking about what you are seeing here and the trends that eventually brought us here to the point where you get liquidity drying up. Here are the bid-ask spreads, which basically means your bid and your offer, how wide it is. And as you can see, they're normally around 3 or 4 cents and then surged up to, goodness, 79 cents. And that's typically what you'll have happen when there is some sort of chaos in the market. It was similar back in my option trading days. If there was an event, you would widen out your quotes because you had just the way it worked, and that was happening in silver. So, and there's some, let's continue on because there's some really interesting things in here. London is at the heart of the precious metals markets, where a small group of banks trade gold and silver bars held in a handful of vaults around the city. At the end of each day, when positions are squared up, secure trucks shuttle between the vaults to deliver bullion to settle the trades. I'm not saying that's wrong, although I think there's at least something that isn't captured in there. Remember, someone I talked with after the silver squeeze back in 2021, when JP Morgan supposedly added over 100 million ounces of silver into SLV over a 3-day period. And I remember a couple of people did the math where you'd need an army force to truck that much silver in that short a period of time. Although this person who contacted me was saying basically, you have, imagine like a football size pile of silver, and they take the sticker and move it from one pile to the other. So I'm guessing there's elements of both here, but anyway, let us continue on. Price surge has been driven in large part by a wave of investment into gold, spurred by fears of rising debt levels in the West and devaluations of currencies. That has accelerated as the US government has shut down. More on that later. The shutdown, but this idea that this is being spurred by rising debt levels and devaluation of currencies. Another thing that I've found interesting as in the past day or two, as I've been thinking more about this, it's kind of weird because you did have the interest rates get cut, but this is happening not when there's like a new overt crisis. In 2011, that was following on the heels of QE2. In 2020, you had COVID breakout. We didn't just have a failed bond auction. The economy's weakening, but according to Jerome Powell, still strong. At least strong enough that he needs to cut rates into 4 year plus in above Fed mandate inflation that's kind of going up back up again now. So I mean, it wasn't like Lehman Brothers just blew up last week. We have these record metals prices while things are supposedly normal. So I mean, yes, there's some people rising debt and devaluation, but it's not like something new just happened, which makes you wonder when we do have issues in a treasury auction, or we do have the next QE policy, or we do have the next time the Fed has to come bail out banks. If we're already at these prices and then that happens, and I think that's really the important in the sense of one of the questions that comes up now, like, okay, gold's 4,000 bucks, silver's 50. Do I buy it here? I mean, obviously, if you bought it at 20 bucks, it was a lot better, but I think all of these things is why, if you're able to have a longer time horizon, 10 or 20 years from now, you'll probably look back and not legal advice of any sort, but is it reasonable to say that based on that factor alone, let alone everything else that's happening, that 20 years from now, we could look back on the gold price and it would have done something similar to what we've seen over the past 20 years when gold went from 250 bucks an ounce at the turn of the century to 3 or 4,000 now? We shall see. Although, as we continue back here, squeeze also reflects a dynamic specific to silver, with market participants pointing to a sudden jump in demand from India in recent weeks, combined with dwindling supply of available bars to trade and worries that metal could be hit with US tariffs. Fortunately, these are all things we touched on, especially in the Substack. In case you didn't know, we have a Substack where every trading day we give you an update, a lot of good stuff in there. And yes, we had just touched on this. You did have the surge in imports and, well, the dwindling supply. We've talked about that plenty. There was one other piece of news from India 2 days ago, which we'll article gets to in a moment. So, silver relies on 100 millions of ounces of silver held in vaults in London to underpin liquidity. And that's a big one there because that's why. Right now you have silver on the COMEX. Looks like some is starting to go back, yet why is London so important? Because that's the main trading center, and the silver stockpile we're talking about is basically what underpins that. So it's like if your casino doesn't have, they need some bankroll to pay out the winners as you work overtime and the money comes in your favor, but that's their bankroll and it's getting low. Because the stockpile has been steadily drained in recent years, first by persistent deficits as mine production has failed to keep pace with demand from investors. Now, if you're not new to the channel, you probably at this point have at least some point in time, especially when the prices were getting clobbered a couple of years ago, said, "When is this guy going to stop talking about silver deficit? I'm tired of hearing it while the price is getting clobbered." Now, here while the price is rising, you have that being pointed out. So sometimes it takes time. So the deficits have depleted the inventory and the metal that was shipped to the US earlier this year amid fears of tariffs.
The stuff is also quite heavy, as you know.
And here you can see the London stockpiles have been drawn down. Here is the total silver inventory. And then this is the free float because a lot of the metal is held by the ETFs. And as you can see here, they have 200.9 million ounces in the free float. The other source I look at has an even lower number. And then you have the possibility, and I'm finally getting an answer to this question, by the way, of if the banks say that the short positions on the COMEX are hedges to metal held in London, then would that need to be netted out of this free float? If it is, then you're already in negative territory. So, either case, we're seeing what the danger zone looks like now. Inventories have fallen by a third since mid-2021. We have 300 videos on the channel talking about that as well. Remaining free float of metal available to provide liquidity to London, mostly held by big banks, has dropped to just 200 million ounces, down 75% from the 850 in 2019. And just for context, the daily turnover, what's considered the amount to underpin the LBMA's trading on a daily basis, has averaged around 250 million ounces, which is part of the problem. And it seems like, in particular, being the sweet spot, being pounded a little harder by this surge in demand from India, that really caused problems. Indian buyers had been sourcing silver from Hong Kong. Yeah, this part's really interesting, but shifted purchases during the Golden Week holiday when China was shut down for a week that carried last week into this week. And as we did mention in that Substack, we did have an ETF even halt new investments on Thursday, citing a domestic shortage of metal. And that was one of the things that I thought was important, where the article did say shortage. And in some sense, yes, this is a shortage, but I think it's important, especially in the silver world, to be clear where when you say shortage, at least to the idea of what most silver investors in some capacity are hoping for of, do we reach a shortage where the industrial users can't get what they need because there's just not enough silver out there? I don't think we're at that grander point yet, because in the article about this, they mentioned that they did halt investments, but because there was a lack of available metal, although they're expecting it on the next shipment, which arrives next week. So now, if you're sitting here 2 weeks from now, they still haven't gotten the metal, it's not on the next truck, and they don't know when it's coming. Would you call that? If it can't be filled, I guess, after long enough. See, partly the reason I look at it like that is that you still, well, you have metal in the COMEX. So, as we're going to get to in a moment, some of that has left this week. Does it eventually get there? When I think of a shortage, I think of there's just not enough. Whereas right now, there could be delays. So you could call that a semi shortage, if you will. Hopefully, you're getting the difference. Where if there's a shortage in India, but 4 weeks from now, some of that COMEX silver will have gone to London and then will have gone to India. Different than when it's just not anywhere. We're not slow on the shipping logistics and transferring it into the right forms in the right places. So, a note on that one. And apparently, the LBMA put out a statement yesterday saying they're aware of the tightness and actively monitoring the situation. Well, good to hear. Not, it's like playing Tetris all day. And hey, Bill, we got those price things going up. Should I look at that? No, I got a long one. So anyway, prices have smashed through multiple records. Silver auction, the London fix, traded above 50 for the first time ever on Friday. Spot prices, they have it as high as $3 over New York, which is what we're seeing on the Saturday feed here. Again, sometimes depending on if someone leaves a quote wide, you'll see, the prices jump a little bit, which isn't actually a change in the price, but cost to borrow London and silver, as I mentioned earlier, rose well over 100% on annualized basis. That's leasing, which at least one market veteran said he believed was higher than anything seen during the 1980 squeeze. So here you see the 1 month lease rates, which here's the last 4 years. You can see that's quite a jump. So in other words, now is it possible there's some resolution or yes, I don't know that this means that the silver market as we know it is going to end next week, but you do currently have the alarm bells going off. Again, with that London New York spread that went as high as $2.50, $3. I mean, it's an alarm bell when it's 20 cents under, let alone when you get to the, like, that's a big move. You know, I know in finance things can often be complex, and but I mean this is significant. Hopefully I've demonstrated why at some point throughout this video. And another sign of stress, bid-ask spreads blew out from their typical levels of 3 cents to over 20 cents an ounce. Here's Robert Gottlieb. Banks don't want to quote each other, so the quotes get extremely wide. That's creating this tremendous illiquidity. And here you go. In 1980, the market corner was broken by the intervention of the exchanges, where they created rules preventing traders from taking new positions, only allowing them to liquidate. But there's no such easy fix in today's silver market, because instead the squeeze is likely to be resolved by more silver becoming available in London. And they mentioned the ETFs, and that's something to keep an eye on, where now the problem, one of the things that's created the problem, is that a lot of silver is going into the ETFs. I would think that in terms of places it might come out of the most quickly if conditions change. I don't know if the price jumps 10 or 15 bucks, do we see metal quickly come out of the ETFs? Or if there was, well, here's the thing. I mean, if the Fed came out and said, you know what, we realized inflation's kind of high, we better start hiking here. If you had something like that happen, then you probably see metal leave the ETF pretty soon. Although you're not going to see that happen. Trump is not going to bring in Paul Volcker's son and raise interest rates. So, but the other thing that you are seeing happen, trader is able to fly bars from other parts of the world to London, and we'll see how much of that goes on. One executive at a logistics company said he had been receiving a call with calls with growing urgency for the past week from customers seeking to take silver out of vaults linked to New York's COMEX and fly it to London. He estimated 15 to 30 million ounces was currently trying to go back to London. And on Friday, COMEX saw its largest one-day withdrawal of silver in more than 4 years. And fortunately, we can take a look at that, because here is yesterday's report. We see 3.6 million ounces were withdrawn. And then we can take a look at the day before that, where we see 2 million ounces were withdrawn. And I believe it was about 2 million ounces the day prior to that. So close to 8 million ounces there.
Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
So that's another question, how much of that will ultimately go back? I talked with Vince. He thinks he's of the school of thought. I don't know. Well, no, I did ask if I can quote him on this. He thinks that the silver that came over earlier was likely on behalf of the government, because they knew it was strategic and that it wouldn't be going back. There could be some go back, but maybe not a lot of it. We don't know who's holding it. At what parameters are they going to be selling it? But at least so far, we've seen some go back. This was interesting. Others reckon that silver will start to flow out of China, where it's also been trading at a discount, although volumes might be limited due to tightness in China itself. So they're having their own issues there, and the inventories in China have also come down since 2021. Then down here, still some traders are reluctant to export it back from New York. Logistics are complicated, particularly amid fears the government shutdown may slow down customs processes. So as always, you can count on the government to be making the situation worse because they couldn't get their budget done on time. And London squeeze means that even one day's delay could be punishingly expensive. And I was thinking about that. That's interesting, where if you have some time lag, I would think there's some way to hedge that out with some sort of derivative. But it's like, what if you get the metal out of New York and price moves by the time you get it to London? So it sounds like quite the clusterfuck right now. If we're going to be precise about it.
You put the total amount of open interest of silver, including both above ground and below ground.
And then add on that there are still concerns that Trump could impose tariffs on silver at the conclusion of the so-called Section 232 investigation into critical minerals, which includes silver. And fortunately, just in time for this occasion, I think I finally am getting this correct, at least correct enough that I feel comfortable to lay this out.
That's my quant.
Here you have April 3rd, exclusion from Trump tariffs reduces premiums on the metals. So that was back in April, day after reciprocal tariffs. Trump exempts gold and silver. There you see gold and silver, as well as platinum group metals. EFP premiums, which had surged, come back down. So, okay, we're good to go. Gold and silver. Then, though, on April 17th, critical minerals, possible tariffs, a new Section 232 probe. On April 15th, an executive order to initiate Section 232 investigation of the national security effects of imports of processed critical minerals and their derivative products. So basically, April 15th, they say, what should the tariff status be on critical minerals? So that's ongoing in the background. And then what happened was that back then, silver was not a critical mineral, but it was added to the draft list in August. So here, that happened August 25th. And then 3 days later, more critical minerals could be subject to Section 232 tariffs, including silver. So I know I've shared a lot of those comments from Robert Gottlieb in the Substack, where he's been mentioning that almost daily and been a little confused of why it was still under question. But basically in August, once silver was added to the draft list, now all of a sudden it's applicable to the Section 232 ruling, which there you go. Final report due by mid-October. And we're recording on October 11th today, so any day now. And although I wonder how that gets impacted by the government shutdown. So again, nobody knows anything about what is going on now. Although I can say we will keep you posted on how all of this unravels in the Arcadia Economics Gold and Silver Daily, which you can find at goldandsilverdaily.substack.com. And there's a free version of it if you'd like to test it out. You get a column a week. And there's also a paid version for only 10 bucks a month where we dig into all of this stuff. Here is the spread blowing out, details on that. There's Robert Gottlieb talking about how we are clearly in the danger zone in terms of liquidity. Doesn't sound good here. Yesterday, silver now so tight, some are loading up planes as we speak, thanks to Josh Philip Fair of Scottsdale Mint. And there was the story about India and a whole lot more. So, especially at this particular time when you have so much volatility in the gold and silver markets and some big differences between 2011 and 1980. Well, if you're looking for a way to stay posted on what is going on, and if you enjoyed this video, well, head on over to goldandsilverdaily.substack.com.
I was a bartender. Now I own a boat.
You own a boat.
And go get started over there. And with that said, I hope you're having a great weekend. I don't know if you want to break from gold and silver for a couple of days or if you're sitting there saying how many more hours until the markets open in the Far East. But if you'd like to get an idea of just the degree to which the mainstream is now finally starting to enter the gold and silver markets, well, the legendary Charlotte McLeod joined me for a conversation earlier this week, and that one is coming your way now.